1, 1, 1, 1. This recording is being made on January 19, 1972, at a press breakfast marking the 10th anniversary of the appointment of Daniel G. Aldrich, Jr. as Chancellor at the University of California, Irvine.
Really blew a gas.
There we go. Now you can start all over, Wayne, for the record.
I haven't gotten involved in all the surprises we have in store for you this morning, but I want to thank you for coming out at such an early hour. And I'd like to get your sentiment before you leave on what you feel about having these gatherings on occasion. For the rest of this year, we've skipped a couple of months deliberately because we didn't want to overdo our welcome for a 7:30 a.m. invitation. But if you in the press, those of you who cover the campus regularly, feel this is important to you, why it's important to us as well. So we'll respond to your desire on whether to continue breakfast on a regular monthly basis, although we'll reserve the right for from time to time to assemble a group, if we may, on special occasions such as this morning. Again, a 10th anniversary, which I think is a significant milestone. We've had prepared some highlights of our history of the campus. And Brad, you might take it and tell us what else you have in store for us this morning. As I say, I've been away for a few days.
Wayne, we, of course, realized that the 10th anniversary was, as you say, a significant milestone, and so we asked Chancellor Aldrich if he would be with us this morning, and we set this up on fairly short notice. I'm glad we do have a good turnout, and yesterday Helen put together some excerpts of historical highlights of the campus, which we hope will be a good reference for you, as well as some biographical highlights of the Chancellor's career. And so I hope those will be helpful to you in whatever coverage you decide to do. And with that, I think we'll just turn it over to Dan to reminisce a little bit, and perhaps in addition to just giving us some factual information, analyze the first 10 years and maybe put on his prognosticator's hat and look forward to what he expects to happen in the next 10. So Dan, pick it up from there.
Well, I realize that when we talk about the 10th anniversary, we're essentially talking about my 10th anniversary, because perhaps during this year, other individuals will have occasion to celebrate their 10th. Mr. Cox actually had his 10th anniversary with respect to what we might call the Irvine Project a year ago in July. You'll note the historical highlights. He came into the employ of the University of California in July of 61, working in Vice President Elmer Morgan's office, serving as liaison between the university and the Irvine Company as negotiations were going on for the gift of the 1,000 acres of land. So Mr. Cox, in essence, celebrated his 10th anniversary a year ago. I came on as Chancellor 10 years ago today, the Regents' meeting in January. It's interesting, we'll be picking up with the Regents tomorrow. I suppose that if one's trying to put 10 years together in a package that provokes some interest for those around the table, I might start by thinking about how this place looks today as I thought it might look 10 years ago. And I must say that insofar as physical appearance is concerned, the campus today comes out very much as envisioned. And the best evidence of that is to take a look at the model that was produced along in 1965 that sits in the first floor of the Library Administration Building. And you'll see on that model essentially what you see if you were to stand on top of the Library Administration Building today and look around the campus. However, there are facilities on that model that were not envisioned in 1962, or for that matter, part of the thinking 2 or 3 years later. And I think specifically of the fact that there are medical school facilities on the campus at the present time, which in terms of the long-range planning for this campus, we did not expect would be in evidence here until the mid-70s, for sure. Yet medicine essentially came to UCI in 1967, and we are very much in the business of turning out doctors, and preparations presently for a major expansion in facilities in order to double the number of medical students which we are graduating each year. So that's a whole new dimension to the campus that was not envisioned in 1962 as being here at this particular point in the history of the campus. I am also reminded of the fact that it was during this year, lacking a few days of my 10th anniversary, that the city of Irvine came into being as an incorporated entity. Because in coming to Irvine 10 years ago, I came with the idea that I'd be involved in building a campus and helping the people in the area build a city. And this was essentially the challenge that was held out to all who thought about the idea of Irvine, that it was a rare opportunity to construct, plan, develop a major university campus, and at the same time see come into being around that campus a major community. In fact, usually the history of campuses is the other way around, that they come into being in some community. But to be part of the planning and development of both was a unique opportunity, and I was delighted to see that that picture that we began painting in 1962 of campus and community now firm outline for it is present in 1972. Certainly the campus portion of that picture very definitely outlined and considerably filled in detail. The city outline surrounding the campus, elements of it there as was pictured in the land use plan of 1964, which the regents and the county, various bodies officially adopted for the southern sector of the Irvine Ranch. And little by little during the past 10 years, we've seen that portion of the picture develop, particularly the industrial, commercial, residential. The one remaining part of the picture that still must be filled in is the Civic Cultural Center, so-called Town Center, north of the entrance of the campus, and with the incorporation of the city of Irvine and their location of their city offices in the town center building, we have the first step in what I look forward to seeing, the completion of that portion of the picture, the development of the civic and cultural center of the new city of Irvine, essentially adjacent to the Irvine campus. So that insofar as physical outline is concerned, the 10 years have seen the fulfillment of plans laid earlier, and very much according to schedule, because the students coming to the campus, the construction of facilities to accommodate the various programs of study available to these students has been essentially as projected. We are aware, however, that in the past 2 years, we have another view of the numbers of students that various institutions in California, be they campuses of the university or state colleges or junior colleges, are likely to accommodate in the next 10 years. Quite a different picture insofar as the university is concerned as we began 10 years ago. For the new campus at Irvine, San Diego, and Santa Cruz came into being because of the projections in the late 50s that the University of California would, by the 1980s, be accommodating somewhere in the neighborhood of 235,000 students qualified for admission, and expected, as a consequence of qualification, to enter the university. A year ago this time, the demographers were showing us that instead of 235,000 students seeking admission to the University of California, that the number would more closely approximate 135,000. 100,000 fewer students apparently seeking admission to the University of California. This by reason of the fact that in-migration had not proceeded at a rate to produce the number of 18, 24-year-olds as was projected. Also that the assumption that all who are qualified to enter the university out of high school or community college would automatically go to the university, and that has not turned out to be the case. There are those who are qualified to enter post-secondary schools of education who are not, and among those who are, they're not necessarily coming to the University of California. As a consequence of this, our projections for the ultimate development of this campus involve a curve that does not rise as steeply as we had initially pictured in the period 1965-1975. That the ultimate goal of 27,500 students for the Irvine campus, or for every general campus of the University of California, has been modified. And we are not thinking necessarily that by the mid-80s will we have 25,000 plus students on all of the general campuses of the university. I have chosen to think, however, that ultimately at Irvine we may approach 25,000 students, for the simple reason that the population and the nature of the population of Southern California and Orange County, San Diego County, and Riverside County is such that we will have demand among all of our institutions of higher education for increasing enrollments. And so I have simply, in my own projection, allowing the growth curve to flatten out, and we proceed not so rapidly toward what might be ultimately a campus of 25,000, but certainly not a campus that will end up at 10,000. Because if we look within commuting distance of this campus right now, we have the potential of 12,000 students who could come to this campus and not be forced by lack of capacity to go to other campuses of the university. And so I think that and plan on Irvine continuing to grow, but at a slower rate than we were receiving students in a period of 65 to 70. I'm pleased that on this 10th anniversary day that the new administration building, a long planned but somewhat slower than programmed to be constructed, is now in evidence. They're fencing off the area in which the administration building will be constructed, although I must confess that I didn't know that on the 10th anniversary day, for the first time in the history of the institution, we'd find the campus gateway fenced off. I don't know whether that's progress or not, but in any event, the fencing out there that you see across the gateway plaza is in preparation for the construction of the new administration building, which provides opportunity for our library to continue its growth as planned. And I would note that as of today, this is an anniversary date in more ways than one, the 500,000th volume was put on the shelves in our library. So it makes a nice milestone insofar as the development of the campus library is concerned, which is, of course, a major resource for any educational institution, and we're pleased that our library continues to grow. Again, maybe our acquisition rate being a bit slower than we had originally projected, but nonetheless continuing to grow, and we're happy with the fact that the first library facility we occupied, which was the library administration building, on schedule, we were able to double, and essentially adding a third more to its capacity with the completion of the new administration building, because since the beginning, the library administration building has devoted three of its floors to non-library usage. With the completion of the administration building, it can be devoted entirely to library. Let me move from thinking about physical resources to some observations about academic program, faculty, and students, which are really the heart of the whole enterprise. There are programs on this campus which today are significant parts of the academic offerings of this campus that were not envisioned as we began here in 1962, certainly even in 1965 when we opened our doors. I'm thinking of such programs as comparative culture, of social ecology, which are interdepartmental, inter-school programs. And when I think about comparative culture, I think about Irvine today in ways that I did not envision, didn't even think about as we began here 10 years ago, which I think are terribly significant insofar as higher education in general is concerned, and certainly insofar as the stature and development of this campus is concerned. And that is that today, out of our approximately 6,000 undergraduate students, we have 500 young people from ethnic minority backgrounds on this campus. When we opened in 1965, the numbers of such students you could probably count on one hand. And this is a whole new dimension to the educational opportunity that are afforded the people of this state. While the opportunity was there 10 years ago, any awareness of minority youngsters being part of it was not much in their thinking or ours, but certainly very much so today, and a variety of mechanisms being developed to increase the awareness among minority young people that public higher education in California is every bit as much their opportunity as it has been traditionally the thought of the white majority or the Anglo majority. And to me, this is a very significant change in the population of student bodies on this campus and other campuses of the universities and the state colleges. And this has given rise to a whole different atmosphere in which study goes on, because we are looking at the various cultures that have contributed over time to what is the nature of this country, our society, and looking at it through the eyes in a scholarly way for the first time of black and brown, yellow and red scholars. And to me, the awareness that has come in the past few years that minorities students have such an institution open to them and that they can succeed here does as much to further the hope of minority people in terms of all areas of our society, that there is opportunity for them there too. And if it can be demonstrated on the campus that they can come and succeed and leave the campus and with the resources that higher education has provided them continue to succeed, then I feel our institutions are making a contribution, a significant contribution. In fact, to me, it's one of the most exciting dimensions of what our colleges and university life are contributing today to society. I also am aware that students are involved in the operation and function of this institution and others like it today in ways that were not thought about 10 years ago. The concern expressed by students about the nature of the educational resources that are provided them, their opportunity to enter into the discussions that go on that affect decisions with respect to the character and organization, content of that education certainly proceeds with far greater involvement than was ever envisioned in 1962. And as a consequence of this involvement, the interaction that goes on between students and faculty, I think a constant declining impression that college education is irrelevant, because as they have become involved in thinking, discussing, and helping deciding about the nature and content of the academic offerings, there has come greater understanding on their part of what it adds up to and why certain programs of study are important foundation to other studies that relate to application. And so the student-faculty and interaction on campus, the environment of learning to in 1972 is quite a different one than it was in 1962, as I thought about the development of Irvine. I also would say that in 1972, the focus of faculty and staff on this campus, and I would say that this is not unique, is far more on the student and the environment of learning than it has been in, I'll say, the past two decades. We came out of World War II very much concerned about growth of plant to accommodate numbers of students and in programs that reflected the great burst of science and technology that characterized the Sputnik era. With the reduction in the flow of resources for both facilities and programs that has taken place in the second half of the 60s, with the initial burst of numbers that we had to accommodate and attempt to assimilate past, we have been looking inward on our campuses, as we had not earlier in the decade, toward how to make the most of the resources that we have, result in a quality program. And this has meant ordering of priorities, and continual examination of what we're doing in order to do better whatever it is we've undertaken within the resources of manpower and facilities. And so I feel, as I look at the campus today compared to the thinking that went on in the earlier days of this campus, that we are in far better position to hear from those whom we are here to serve, and that's the student, more readily about how we're doing. That it isn't just a matter of trying to produce a facility in which certain programs of study go on, and hopefully we have brought to the campus competent staff and faculty in order to conduct these programs, and that the students enter the programs, and sooner or later they obtain their credit and their degrees and depart. I think today there's far more evidence on this campus of people attempting to appraise as we go along how meaningful are the curriculum pathways that we have developed to the student in terms of career goals and objectives. And as a consequence of an improving communication system that allows feedback from the student, that provides an opportunity for feedback, we will continue to improve upon the quality of the education that we provide. Certainly taking advantage of new technologies in doing so, or at least learning better how to augment our learning process with the new technologies, whether we're talking about computers or audiovisual devices of one kind or another. So I feel, as I think about Irvine in 72, that student, faculty, and staff function in an environment in which there is far greater concern for one another and what each can contribute to this community than certainly there was as we began. And I think this will continue, thinking of Brad's comments here about what do I see ahead, I think this will continue to be the situation here at Irvine, because what we have essentially been trying to do since we opened our doors in 1965 was to put flesh on this skeleton that was essentially constructed from our thinking and plans that began 10 years ago. And as resources have been made available to us, they've been devoted to putting the flesh on this skeleton. We haven't fleshed out quite as rapidly as we had hoped to, by reason of the fact that resources in the last several years haven't flowed at the rate originally envisioned. As a consequence, when people say, "Oh, what are your plans for the future at Irvine?" I have a very quick answer, and that is simply to nurture that which we have started in 65. It was a very broad base insofar as program and variety of offerings are concerned, and we've got our job cut out for us to see to it that what was started in 65 matures. The likelihood of major new academic programs being set in motion on this campus in the next 5 years, I would say are limited. If any changes are likely to come, I think it might be in the area of the health sciences, where resources of the federal government and possibly from the state recognizing need may provide for adding programs in the health sciences, which presently at Irvine involve only medicine. I also think that any new programs on this campus, as they are likely to develop, will involve new arrangements of existing resources, where in the light of societal needs, interest in providing an appropriate academic background to undergird some interest in the society, whether it's ecological, human, or otherwise. I can see biologists and social scientists and humanists and engineers possibly regrouping to form new academic units. And I cite as the example of the regrouping which has already taken place on this campus, the likes of comparative culture and social ecology, which provides an opportunity for students to not only obtain an academic base for a program, but also to work in the community, extending the laboratory of the campus into the community. And this prompts me to comment about what I know will take place on this campus in the next 5 years in ways certainly not envisioned in 1962, but hoped for, and that is the extension of this university into programs that permit the part-time pursuit of credit and degrees. And the fact that continuing education or lifelong learning is not an expression confined to an extension unit on the campus, but rather becomes the opportunity for people of all ages and backgrounds to pursue in the University of California. We talk about extended university. What we're talking about is enabling for the first time people to come to the campus and pursue a course or two at a time which fits their schedule, which is a different schedule than that normally followed by 18 to 22 year olds, which has been essentially the principal population of our campuses, with the exception of graduate students, that now people earning a livelihood, maintaining a home, working in one way or another, can think about the possibility of coming to the campus at night or at some time in the day or on the weekends and in the summertime and continuing to earn credit toward a degree. We will launch the first such program at the master's degree level this summer. It's a pilot program in biological sciences that permits high school teachers, that's the audience that this program is aimed at, in biology, to obtain a master's of arts in teaching in biology by putting together a program of study in one summer session with a course per quarter taken at night or on the weekends during the winter, and another summer session, and thereby earning a master's degree, which essentially involves 6 weeks of study in two summers with the possibility of a course per quarter at night or weekends during the winter. I'm aware that I'm supposed to be at another place at 9 o'clock to talk to some group or another, and Brad's just shown me that it's quarter of nine, so
maybe you might have one or two quick questions that he could answer in the next two or three minutes so they can get on his way to the next appointment.
Doctor, I'd like to have you reflect for a minute on what impact university has had on Orange County as, as a community.
Yeah. Well, the impact of the university on Orange County has taken place in countless positive ways. As a major learning resource for the young people of this county, when you consider that 60% of our student population comes right from Orange County, one appreciates the significance of such an enterprise in these terms, and we might as well start right there. When you consider that University Extension on this campus is the third largest extension division in the University of California, surpassed only by UCLA and Berkeley, bringing to this campus in excess of 20,000 people in extension programs, involved in courses and conferences and seminars and colloquia each year, another contribution to the people of this county. When one takes a look at the citizen extension Project 21 type study programs, where such subjects as open space, the problems of the central city, poverty, housing, transportation, healthcare delivery, have been subjects of study by citizen groups for a period of a year. These particular citizen study groups shepherded in their effort by University Extension, resources brought to the study groups from around the country, a report issuing from such study, followed by a major conference, the study findings being reviewed and commented upon by experts from across the country, and in the process, information being developed for various segments of the county to review and to have as part of their thinking in order to make informed judgments about a variety of problems. I think one of the most significant contributions one can imagine, as the principal library resource in this county, industry, schools, citizenry, the borrowings that go on in our library by the external or the non-student faculty borrower matches the borrowing that goes on the campus. As a source of entertainment, a cultural resource, there isn't a dimension of the arts, be it drama, music, lecture, painting, sculpture, dance, that this campus doesn't afford a continuing source of the finest in the way of talent in these various fields. And last evening I attended the performance of the Sierra Leone National Dance Company and had the occasion to be asked about community attendance at these various events on the campus, and while my figure may be off, my impression is that if one is to attend any of the activities on this campus, be it cultural, recreational, athletic, that you'll find the audience at least half of people from the community. They come here morning, noon, and night to observe, be spectators, participate in the variety of events scheduled for this campus. I have not commented about the dollars and cents impact of this university. When one figures that on this campus there are 7,000 students, faculty and staff that will bring the population to 10,000, and what subsequently comes and goes each day here that will push it up between 10 and 15,000 people, the impact upon housing and transportation and all of the resources that sustain a population of 10 to 15,000 is at once apparent on the economy. And with the coming of the medical school here and the nature of medicine that emanates from a medical school, the whole character of health care and the attraction of the human resources that are involved with such health care are affected positively by the presence of a medical school. And then when one looks at the development of the city around us and the numbers of industry, of research and development type that have located here, one in many instances can trace that location to an awareness of the proximity of it to the university. And certainly as you talk with people about where they live, it isn't uncommon, in fact it's common for people to immediately want to know, well, what about the educational resources that are available in an area. And certainly as we look at the elementary, secondary, post-secondary school resources of the South Coast area of Orange County, this university contributes significantly to those resources and thereby to the atmosphere, which I think results in the location of people in this part of the world.
Well, thank you, Dr. Aldrich, for giving us this overview of UC Irvine on the occasion of your 10th anniversary as chancellor. And this recording was made at our regular press breakfast in the Gateway Commons on January 19th, 1972. We thank you all for being here.